Still keep him standing, make the real straight. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جهر ما يخفى ونيسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ذكر الله سبحان 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 الله الحمد لله 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 الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. May Allah accept it from us. MashaAllah. Traditionally, the khutbah follows. You don't have to stay for the khutbah, but don't carry lingering conversations when the address begins. Okay. Now, I said, yeah, come on.
I'm not going to be standing. That's one week for me.
All right, alhamdulillah, good to see you, man. Good to see you. Allahu Akbar. Eid Mubarak.
Good to see you.
God bless David. Yes, yes, good seeing you too. We'll be getting started in just a minute. Alhamdulillah. Those of you who are on the Musalla floor here, turn around, Bilal. Just tap them. Those of you who are in the shoe area, if you're leaving, get your shoes and move on. If you're staying, you should find a place where you can be seated. It's hard to stop the love when people are seeing each other. After the separation of the past 2 years, more so. So, alhamdulillah, we get it. But inshallah, we'll be able to do all of the hugging and loving and talking with each other when we socialize after we finish the Eid ceremonies. Alhamdulillah. ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معامه الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة جمعة مبارك Eid Mubarak, all kind of Mubarak's going on. Eid Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. I want to save you and me proper time, so I need to set my clock here. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاليوم لا يظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلى ما كنتم تعملون صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this is this day. This is Allah speaking of يوم القيامة, speaking of the judgment day, when the scales are set and our deeds are weighed. This day, Allah is saying, this day no soul shall be wronged in the least, and you shall not be recompensed except in accordance with the consequences of your past deeds. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Ali reported that we were in a funeral in the graveyard of Gharqad, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to us and we sat around him, and he had a stick in his hand and he lowered his head and he began scratching in the earth with the stick, and then he said, there's not one amongst you whom a matter in paradise or hell has not been written, and about whom it has not been written. That is, none of us are without this. About whom it has not been written as to whether he would be an evil person or a blessed person. Then a person said, O Messenger of Allah, should we not depend upon our destiny? That is our qadr, if we were looking at the Arabic, our qadr, and abandon our deeds and not think about our deeds. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that acts of everyone will be facilitated in. That is, the way you act will be made easy for you. Okay? Will be facilitated in that which you have been created for. So whoever belongs to the company of the blessed will have good works made easy for him. And whoever belongs to the unfortunate ones will have the evil acts made easy for him. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, then recited from the Quran, and it's identified as Surah 42. I believe that's Surah. No, pardon me, 92. And these Roman numerals, you got X, C, the C for it, it's 92, inshallah. Then he recited, then who gives to the needy and guards against evil and accepts the excellence, We shall make easy for him the easy way. And who is miserly and considers himself above need, we shall make easy for him the difficult way. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point is the qadr, which some translate as foreordainment, which is not a proper reading or understanding of it. Predestination. No English does justice to Lughata Arabiya of the Quran, particularly. So, about this belief of ours in the Qadr and the statement that the pen is lifted and the ink is dry, the emphatic point to be made that I intend to make is it is not fate, the way that people have this term in their heads, fate, F-A-T-E. You've heard the term fatalism, and you've heard the term fatality, all of that. Alhamdulillah, it's for us to understand, it's one of the beliefs of Al-Islam, but it's not one that, and because it is a belief, is one of the reasons that it can't be explained rationally, right? I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but the Imam Mufassil says, "Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli wal yawm al akhiri wa and the measure and the qadr wa the qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala." And the measure, the qadr, the measure of potential benefit and potential harm and everything, that measure is with Allah. So in everything there's some potential harm, and everything there's some potential benefit. That's with each one of us. There's a measure of it. So nobody is all good, but nobody is all bad. There is some good and some bad in all, and potential for both in each one of us. But it's not fate. This is the point. It's not fate. Oh, well, it's already been written, so what can I do? No. This is what the man said to the prophet when the prophet told him that everything about you has already been written by your Lord. What your state is going to be, if you're going to be miserly, if you're going to be good, if you're going to be evil, if you're going to be a denizen of paradise, or you're going to be a denizen of hell, that's already been written. So the person said, well then, why don't we just wait for it, basically? No, the prophet said, no, act and do. Because in order for you to get a better feel for your destiny, what do you find easy to do? Do you find it easy to do bad? Do you find it easy to do wrong? Are you on the ain't no shame in my game? I know nobody in here fits that. We're all talking about them out there, right? There ain't no shame in my game. No, it's like, if that's easy for you, then Allah is making it easy for you to find the road to hell, right? If doing the deeds of the disciplines of Al-Islam, if those are easy for you, then inshallah you're on the path toward the Jannah. But the Prophet did also say that there are those who will work the works of the people who are headed for paradise until the distance between them and paradise is only an arm's length. Then they'll switch up. And then they'll start acting like the denizens of hell until they land in hell. And then there are those who are acting as though, oh, I know he, she going to hell like that. They act that way until there's an arm's length between them and hell. And then they're turned and they act otherwise until they land in Jannah. So nobody knows where any of us are on that track. Brother so-and-so, he looked real good, man, that's a righteous brother, man. Sister so-and-so the same, man, she's really, really down. She's a devout sister, etc. All right, well, wait till the arm's length show up. And in the meantime, you kind of need to stop worrying about them and get your own. How far am I? Which direction am I going in? Right? So mashallah, this is the idea to understand that the Prophet is saying, that's what Allah knows, the Qadr. And let me say why I'm not going to say much more. I'm trying to restrict myself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out one day and he heard his companions wrangling about something, and then he got the sense of, and he asked him, he says, what is this that you all are discussing? You're discussing the Qadr? He said, they say yes. He said, I swore before my Lord that my community would not debate this matter, because it's a matter that you don't know any more in the end than you did in the beginning. It's a belief. So if you believe that is the case, now just fit yourself into how you're supposed to behave in light of that. Okay? And this is a part of what we're, mashallah, seeking to say. So the point is that Qadr is not fate. So don't think that what, besides the fact of our not knowing what has been written for us, then what are we supposed to do in the light of it being written? And what the Prophet told us is what we have to do. Act and do. Act and do. And it is that our futures here and after this life, that is, our futures here and after this life, are constructed. I'm saying this literally. Yes, it's physical and metaphysical in statement, but this is actual for us as Muslims. Our life here and our life after this life is made out of our deeds. It's the material. Our behavior is the material that our future is constructed of. Do you understand? Just like a building is made of wood, a car is made of steel, aluminum, whatever you might think about. It's made of that stuff. Our life in the future of the dunya, of this world, when we're still on this side of the grave, but in the future, it's made of how we act. That's what makes it. I want you to understand it. That's the building material of your future. Your behavior, our behavior. Our futures here are made of those, constructed of those deeds, our good deeds and our bad deeds. They are the form and the substance of our future. So as we act, our future here and our future in the life hereafter, or the life after this life, is being constructed. I really hope you feel and have that sense. Because if you know that, if you believe that, you ask yourself, where do you want to live in the future? I'm talking about in the future. I don't care, 5 years, 10 years. Well, you build that future by the way you act. That's how you build it. Just think about it. I know it has to be in our mind that, well, you know, I never thought about that. It's like we kind of wait for the future to happen. Oh, that's how it turned out? That's not the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to live. Allah does not invite us to wait for, well, it's already been written, well, let me just hang out and just see how it turns out. No. No. That's with Allah. He knows, we don't know. And this life, هُوَ الَّذِي الْمَوْتُ خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَامِلًا. He is the one who created the death and the life as a trial to see which of you will behave in the best way. Our behavior is the evidence of what we really believe. God says, it's not a verse that we have right in front of us, but God says, what? Do they think that they are going to be rewarded for something other than their deeds? This God said. He talked to the angels, so Allah does talk to celestial bodies. So not like he doesn't have any partners, but he told the angels, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." Who is he talking to? He's talking to the angels and everybody else, quote unquote, there. So in this statement, he's saying also to the company with him, what is it? Do they think that they're going to be rewarded for something other than their deeds? It's kind of like if he's talking to whoever, he's like, I don't know, what did they think? What did they think was going to be the basis for how they got rewarded or punished? They didn't think about it. In Hadith Qudusi, says this is a hadith that's not the words are from the Prophet, the meaning is from Allah. It says, O my servants, it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah, and let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. This is the creator of all of us. It is so, so very important. When we pass from this life, there's nothing else for us to say. Everyone in here has somebody beloved and somebody dear to them that has passed away. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, the saying is ascribed to him, Athar, right? He said, man is asleep, but when he dies, he wakes up. You know, this language out here in the world, man, I'm just real, man. Man, you just got to be real about this, man. What is real? Probably the way they stuck that word into the language so that every time you say it, you have to say it that way. I'm going to let you work with that. So what is real? What is with Allah is real. And Allah tells us, وَتَقُوا النَّارِ, and be regardful of the fire. Be conscious that the fire is real. Don't get caught up in what this world shows you of beauty and of power and of influence and clout or whatever. And so you spend time focusing on that, never knowing when your end comes. But when your end comes, there's no being sent back. There's no being sent back. And who has an appointment card in their pocket and say, well, yeah, I'm going to be seeing Allah in about 2 years and 53 days and 44 hours. No. We don't know. But we have to act as though it's present with us. It's a reality with us. And the Jannah, the same, because of the construction. Dr. Ismail Raja'i Farooqi, in his book, At-Tawheed, Its Implications for Thought and for Life, he makes this statement. He says, the Muslim, and if you know any, well, some of you know, I know, I see you. Dr. Ismail Farooqi, it's like, if you've ever seen the Cultural Atlas of Islam, if you've ever seen that book and see the magnitude of that book, it's like, man, who has the time even? That's known to research, study, do it, and then put it in a compilation like that. That's just one example. It's encyclopedic. But his writings are just vast. MashaAllah. And he died as a martyr. He was assassinated, actually. He and his wife were profound scholars. So, in this book, At-Tawheed, Its Implication for Thought and for Life, I've said it before, and I say it now, this is a very important moment. If you can find, I know you can find the book, if you will, go find the book, get it, read it. It is very, very significant in understanding the reality of life in our Islamic mission. But here's one statement out of the book. He says, the Muslim knows himself, not the absolute, meaning that he's responsible. I'll just finish his sentence. The Muslim knows himself, not the absolute, as responsible for history. Here's a scholar, the Muslim scholar, who's pointing out to us, you're looking for history to be something, and don't just think about history as the past. He's saying that you're going to see in the future that will become history when you arrive at that place, that thing that's constructed out of what you do today, that thing that's going to become history as time goes on, when you see that history and you look back at it, now it's history, and you look back at it, say, how did that get to be the way that it is? He's saying it got to be the way that it is because of what you did when you were in the present. Here you are present. There's past / history, and there's the future, and you're moving through it. So if you want, when you get there, to be good when it's here, you have to act right now to make, M-A-K-E, fabricate. Do you understand? Construct. You have to make it, and then when you get there, he said, yeah, I made history. Allahu Akbar. That is what we have the power to do. This is what we as Muslims, we lack the sense of sacred empowerment. Do you know that we have been empowered by Allah? We don't have to wait for the secret and whoever else to tell us how that really go. Because Al-Islam has already told us. Allah says, I have made to serve you everything in the skies and everything in the earth. You don't have to lie to get that. You know, it's like Eddie Murphy in that movie Trading Places, right? Y'all remember that movie? Some of y'all, maybe not this Bilal right here. He's probably too, way too young. Move on. So, you know, the Trading Places, like Eddie Murphy and then Dan Aykroyd and whoever the other guy was. And so, this is all yours. It's all yours. So, Eddie Murphy is from the hood, right? He's a hustler from the streets, right? So, he's up there in the mansion with the big white folks, rich white folks. This is all mine. But all the time, he's stealing stuff. He feel like he's stealing stuff. Silver ashtrays. Yeah, man. So he got to get this hustle, right? No, and the rich man said, no, it's yours. You don't have to steal all of it. It's yours. What we must understand, Allah has given us this universe as a gift. It's ours. It's ours. So why should Elon Musk be the only one up in the spatial playground? He the only one got a ride up there. And everybody else is amazed. Oh. No. Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. Allah has taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. And the Prophet told us, all of you are Adam. All of us. So if someone has convinced us that the great powers of the creation are not at our access and not for us, and you know that that's what they've told us many, many years, and unfortunately, sometimes we have inherited that predisposition that, oh no, not me. No, this creation is ours. So Ismail, Dr. Farooqi, rahimahullah alayhi, he continues in the quote, he says, the Muslim is confident that what God disposes as history, that is what God disposes as history, to be in the end is the direct consequence of his conduct in history. So it's what I've said, essentially, that the Muslim is confident that however it turns out that has been written by God, this qadr, however it results, in the end, it is the direct consequences of the Muslim's conduct in history. Just try to draw another analogy for this. You know, Johnny Carson, he used to have this thing where he puts on the turban, you know, with Ed McMahon, right? I know I'm going old for some of y'all, but talk to your mom and daddy. They know what I'm talking about. And so he would take the envelope, and he put the envelope to his head, so it's like on the turban, right? So it's like he's reading what's inside the envelope before opening it up, right? And so that was the joke. He would say something, and then when he opened it up, when he read it, there's the punchline in what he said. But you had to be there in order to get the real funniness out of it. What I'm trying to say is the letter is what has already been written by Allah. You don't know, we don't know what's in the letter, right? But then when you finally do read the letter, okay, that's what it said. With Allah, His Qadr is already written. And then we act. And when we pass from this world, then Allah shows us what we did. And then it also shows us what the Qadr was. It was already written, yes. But in reality, it only became what it was because of the way you acted. Allah's Qadr is not force. Allah's Qadr does not say, okay, this was written, so I'm compelling you to do this. You are compelled by the writing to be this way or to be that way. That's very important. Because how can God judge us if the choices, if it wasn't our choice? We had no freedom. It was our choice. It's so sacred. There's a whole construction of things to talk about in there, but I won't do that. The point is, let's use the dhikr where we say Subhanallah. And I do have clock. So when we ask Subhanallah, you know, we went through the dhikr, and when we say Subhanallah, an expression of it is, Allah is beyond indictment. Indictment. You know, they take the evidence to the grand jury to see if they can get an indictment. They take the evidence and then say the grand jury has passed down an indictment. So Joe Blow has been indicted for this, that, and that. What does that mean? Now we can take him to trial because the grand jury has said there's enough evidence to put the man on trial and then let the jury decide the guilt or innocence. But that's after the indictment. If the grand jury fails to deliver an indictment, there is no case. So when we say Subhanallah, we're saying Allah is beyond it. Forget about the case. You have no case. You don't even have an indictment. Well, what about Katrina? What about the Twin Towers? What about the Holocaust? What about the diaspora? Allah is saying, I know what you don't know. And it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. It may be that you love something that you should hate, and it may be that you hate something that you should love. You have to let Allah's business be Allah's business, and you have to do what you're responsible to do. Whatever Allah intends for it to be, mashallah, it will be that. And that also, go back to Laylatul Qadr so we can understand something. The Prophet said, short version, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing changes the qadr but dua. So even whatever is written, Allah by His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us, you think there's something coming up that might not be the good for you, make dua. That Allah do this, that, and the other. And inshallah, dua can change the qadr. Come on, we can talk about our heavy. There's a movie called the War Room. The War Room, where this devoutly Christian woman said whatever she have a problem, she take it to the closet, and that's the War Room. That's where she makes prayer. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that dua is the weapon of the believer. I think we need to learn how to make dua, don't we? Stop laughing at our praying Christian brothers and sisters. Father God, we come here. I was a bit left. You know, it's that you kind of snicker at them. They be serious. And Allah hears them. Oh, but they praying to Jesus. They think they're praying to God. Nation of Islam. You thought we were praying to God. And that's why God bless you. Because, yeah, you wrong. But your heart is in the right place. Yes, sir. And Allah blesses that Christian grandma and that Christian auntie and all others who are sincere. That's what God is through. But let's move on. I feel like I'm about to go to church. You know what I'm saying? Kind of. You know that spirit. You know that spirit. Sometimes you got to hold it down. It's not right now. So he says that whatever it is that Allah has written, it becomes that. I'm changing His words for our understanding. Whatever it is that God has already written, it becomes that, and it will be true to our actions. So God is saying, I knew what you were going to do before you knew what you were going to do. And whatever it is that you do, all you're seeing is my writing that matches up with your behavior, which was in my foreknowledge, but not compulsion, because I couldn't judge you if I made you do what you did. So Allah is beyond indictment. It's like you can't say that God made me do it. No, Allah didn't make you do it. He held your free will sacred. So sacred that you can either believe in him or not. That's what I say. I won't force you to believe in me. Why? Because a part of your master aspect of creation is that you have free will. Whatever you want to do with it, you can do with it. The best thing to do with it is give it back to me, says Allah. Give it back to me, then I'll, how can you say, move you, inshallah. So I'm going to read just the expression of some verses to conclude as we continue. Surah Maryam 19. All of this has to do with how our future is constructed out of our deeds and actions. These things the Quran says to us, right? Surah Maryam 19, that's the chapter number 76, says Allah increases the guidance of those who are guided, and enduring deeds, listen very carefully right here, and enduring deeds are best in Allah's sight as rewards and a place to return to. Now, that is a quote unquote a translation, but let's look at verse. It says, we read it again. وَيَزِّدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ أَهْتَدَى هُدَى وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا خَيْرٌ وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا. That meaning is there, without reading the whole thing through, because there's one emphasis that I want to make. It says that وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ, enduring good deeds. Al-Baqi is one of Allah's attributes, which we mentioned, okay? And Al-Baqi is the one who continues, always existed, right? Now, that quality is being applied to salihat, that is, good deeds. Al-Baqiyat salihat, so those kind of enduring good deeds. We hear about a sadaqa jariya. Sadaqa jariya is also a sadaqa that gives and gives and gives. It's sort of like trust that we have in this world, that in Islam is called waqf. But it continues. So there are deeds that we can do that are enduring good deeds. And Allah is saying here, those are best in the sight of Allah as rewards. We have to think differently about everything. What changed the Arabs of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the change that the Quran gave to the meaning of words. You can study the word taqwa and the word karama or karima in that history. Before, it's meant being a spendthrift, to be honorable, to be noble, to be generous. It meant to be a spendthrift, like a good time Charlie. All this rounds on me, that kind of guy. That's how they were, and that's the way they got honor, by being wasteful, right? So whoever wasted their resources the most in partying for their people, they were the most honorable. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, says, "Inna akramakum inna Allahi atqakum." So no, that's not the way that you get honor and dignity and show generosity. That's not the way you do it, wasting your resources. That's not the way you do it. In order to get honor with Allah is to have taqwa. When you have taqwa, when you're conscious of Allah and your duty to Allah, that is where your honor is. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Now, apply the same thing to good deeds, because my invitation is, see our good deeds differently. see the value of good deeds differently. See, we already heard about good deeds when we were quote unquote Christians, or when we just as young people, we talk about doing good deeds. So we knew that. So sometimes we still carry just that idea about good deeds. Being a moral person, being a nice person, being a person that's charitable to other people. That's very good. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But that's also to only see it as it relates to your horizontal social relations. You want these people and this institution and so and so to benefit from you and you be seen as being a good person and the like. But in the world that Allah has constructed, which includes this life and the next, which includes the seen and the unseen, good deeds have another nature. Good deeds have another nature. And when you act in accordance with the true nature, because Allah is the one who created the life and made acting possible, and who defines what's good and what's not good, He has given us the means and the wherewithal to do good deeds as a part of His grace. And also, the Quran is telling us, don't just look at good deeds as just a one-off kind of thing that you do for people. See your good deeds as the building material and the designers of your future. So this verse in the Quran, when it describes this baqiyatun salihat, it is saying it is best in the sight of your Lord as rewards. Just imagine Allah say, oh, those good deeds, they don't know how powerful those good deeds are, but I love to see my servants doing good deeds. And He said that they are best as rewards. Do you understand? When you do the good deed, you get rewarded as you do it. If you do it out of sincerity, sadaqah, it gives you a good feeling. A dopaminergic response comes in our body, in our physiology, to let us know you just did something good. So Allah is saying that's best. But the real thing that I want to point to, it says that وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدَّ is best as a place of return. So good deeds are a place. It said a place of return. And we're joining it to the idea that how did that place that you're returning to, how did it get constructed? This is what the verse is saying. Among many things, it's that you were constructing it while you were acting. You were building that life after this life. You were building it as you were acting in this world. And the hell too. You build the hell that you're going to with the bad deeds. So knowing that power, because the deeds, the qadr, every deed and action is in the qadr in some way. It's either measured as something good or measured as something not good. And the reward or the demerit builds up based on that measure. I act, then a measure of good goes to my record. I act, and then otherwise, a measure of bad goes to my record. And all through my life, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. From my actions, right? And there's a construction that goes with the good construction that Allah describes, and I'm going to give you in just a minute. But there's also a bad construction. Let me get this out of my mind right now that comes to mind just as an example of the bad consequences that we build with certain bad behavior. Many of you probably heard about the many things about what happens to the adulterer, what happens to the fornicator, what happens to the the consumer of usury, etc. What's in my mind right now is the one who withholds the zakat. You had to react however you do, but zakat is one of the five pillars of Al-Islam. It's an obligation. It's a right. It's a haqq of Allah. It's a right that Allah has. It's a right. So Allah blesses us with whatever it is that comes to us. Allah has His right in it. But you withhold Allah's right. It's not a Black Lives Matter thing. You withholding the rights of the Creator in what He blessed you with. Then you say, no, all is mine, man. That's what you're saying to Allah when you don't recognize Allah's right in what He blesses you with. So it ain't going to be about, man, I ain't going to get that shoe. I have no more money, man. It ain't going to have nothing to do with that. God is going to have the consequences of that behavior, and that's an excuse that won't be accepted. Whatever excuse for not recognizing Allah's right in it. So what happens? The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this judgment day, in the conclusion, one of the consequences for the one who has withheld Allah's right in the zakat, in their wealth, he said that withheld wealth is going to be in the form of a giant, bald, black, poisonous snake with two black dots where the eyes are, and it will coil itself around the individual, and the snake will start biting that individual and say, I am your wealth that you withheld from the rights of God. See, now you ask yourself, do I believe that, or is that just some kind of fairy tale or something? Well, it'd be a hell of a thing to literally to wait and find out. It's like, no, you better go with the possibility that it's probably going to be like that, right? And so then how do you behave in terms of zakat when you understand that those are the potential consequences of withholding zakat? Because when you do it, you're constructing that snake. And then, we're about 5 minutes out, brother and sister. In Yunus, Surah Yunus 10, Ayah 30, it says, there, speaking of that time, every soul will prove the fruits of the deeds it sent before. God is saying, as He said in Hadith Qudusi, let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Our life is truly in our hand. Indeed, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone wakes up in the morning as a vendor. This is the word. As a vendor of his own soul. And he goes through the day, and that soul is either benefited or diminished in some way, such that when he comes back home, he's either set it free or ruined it. Our soul is in our hands. And every act, if someone says, Assalamu alaikum, there's an obligation for me, according to the Quran, to return it with an equal spirit or greater. That's a mu'amala. That's a transaction. That's literally what mu'amala, deed, action. Mu'amala is a transaction. You're a vendor of your own soul. You have it in your hand. Just like that debit card that you walk around with and you go to the store. Or you spent that, spent this, spent that. Your balance is going to be different at the end of the day. And if you've made some deposits, then you look at it and say, oh yeah, that deposit hit. So I'm good. Right? Alright, well, that's how it is with our soul every day, the mu'amala, right? Either having set it free or having ruined it. So when at this verse is saying, there will every soul prove the fruits of his deeds that is sent before. And Surah Al-Haq, 69:24, it says, eat and drink, and you will be in full satisfaction because of the good that you sent before you in the days that are now gone by. We're building our future now, brother and sister. We're building our future every day with the way that we act. The good deeds, good construction. Bad deeds, towards destruction. We have to recognize this power of our deeds. And a longer and concluding section of verses from Surat Al-Waqiyah 56:10. There's a few verses, I'll just read them through. Speaking of the foremost, as-sabiqun, it says, and those foremost in faith will be foremost in the hereafter. These will be those nearest to Allah in gardens of bliss. A number of people from the old and a few from later times. They will be on thrones encrusted with gold and precious stones, reclining on them facing each other. Round about them will serve youths of perpetual freshness, with goblets, shining beakers, and cups filled with clear flowing fountains. No after ache will they receive therefrom, nor will they suffer intoxication, and with fruits of any type they may select, and the flesh of fowls and they that they may desire, and there will be companions with beautiful, big, and lustrous eyes, like unto pearls well guarded, a reward for the deeds of their past life. No frivolity will they hear there, nor any taint of ill, only the saying, peace, peace. The companions of the right hand, what will be the companions of the right hand? So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, the message is, don't waste time wondering what Allah has written for you, but do as the Prophet says, act and do, for Allah will make it easy for you to act in accordance with your true destiny. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ألا هو ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعل المتقين إماما رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذرياتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولي ولدي وللمؤمنين يوم يحكم الحساب آمين اللهم آمين. May Allah accept it from us. السلام عليكم. عيد مبارك. الله أكبر. A little brief instruction as much as I have it. So inshallah, food service would be short.